B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint AFK. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint AFK, and I gotta put this in there or they will call me into the office. Make sure you go to the website checkpointxp.com where you can find this episode as well as many of our other episodes of Checkpoint AFK, as well as all of our other podcasts about much lighter topics if you're looking to escape a little bit from all of the madness. But you ain't going to escape all the way because we're talking about it everywhere. But anyway, we are back here with Malik Forte. And I want to talk a little bit about video games and how the gaming community has responded to this, because I want to start this conversation off with a quick story, a personal experience. I am somebody who grew up in the city of Detroit. Detroit is something like 82% African American. So to be perfectly honest, I did not experience a lot of racism in my early years. I was surrounded by mostly Black people, Black doctors, Black lawyers, Black police officers. It was a very different experience from what I think many Black people in America experience. However, one of my first instances of racism was through Call of Duty. And this is an issue that has continually plagued video games since they've gone online. But we see game companies, Activision Blizzard included, try to take some steps moving forward to really maybe address a little bit of this. Now, I start with Activision Blizzard because they have put out a statement essentially saying that they are banning racist screen names. They will double their efforts in monitoring racist chat and things of the sort. I mean, but you have to ask, why was that kind of stuff allowed in the first place? Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Why in 2020? Why not 10 years ago?
Or, you know, the beginning of time, or like a beginning of chat and things like that. Like, honestly, it should have been like the first thing you think about. Like, it's nothing new that people are going to say these things. Like, I mean, maybe it's the fact that the internet is something that like people like to hide behind no faces, you know. Maybe that was something people didn't consider. But honestly, like, it should have been like right there at the tip of your tongue to be like, that shouldn't happen.
Listen, if you're Xbox Live and you want to argue, hey, we thought it might be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be nearly that bad in your early years, sure, I might be willing to buy that. But no, if your game came out in 2012, you know the landscape. Like, you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these companies, they know the vibes. They know how it is. It's just a lot of them decide to be complicit because they know the thing about racism is for rich folks, for the oppressors, at times they can be selective about their racism.
Yes.
They can be, if it's making the money, then they'll go with it. If it's not making the money, then they won't, you know, it's plain and simple. That's why, like, to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of folks, a lot of brands, a lot of companies posting things on the internet, and I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Like, I know who is being sincere, and a lot of companies, I know who they're just putting it out there to, you know, save face, because at the end of the day, the almighty dollar is all they really care about. They don't really care about folks.
And the interesting thing here is that, you know, you talked about some of these brands, and I just want to list off a few brands that actually have made statements, or not just statements, but actively pledged money, because again, that's an extra step.
Yes.
Even if it is for PR, but it is still an extra step. You had companies like Ubisoft, EA, yes. Niantic, Pokemon Company, a really weird one, EA, which is that is the first order of video games.
Is it really though? Because, like, all right, so let me go ahead, because I want to clear up a misconception about Electronic Arts. A lot of people, you know, judge them for the way that they do business, the microtransactions in Star Wars Battlefront 2, things like that. They've been very predatory toward their consumers as a whole. And I understand why people don't like EA. But at the same time, they have very inclusive hiring. from they my do. Perspective, I will. From what yeah. I've seen, they actually have a group of African Americans who've developed like a community project with NEA. That's something that a lot of people don't know about. Those folks were instrumental in throwing AfroDev, which was something that happened during the Game Developer Conference last year that celebrated Black game developers. PlayStation and EA were very instrumental in that. And these are companies that do care about diversity and inclusion and do a lot to try to further the agenda. So I want to clear up those misconceptions, because a lot of people were very surprised to see EA come out, donate and pledge so much money. And not only did they like pledge money, but they like are going to start programs within the company to help, you know, bring more people of color into the fray and into gaming. And I there was just a ton of stuff, and I was like very impressed by what I saw.
So one thing surprised. I will commit. Yeah. One thing I would definitely commend EA on that I've seen, not only any game company, I've never seen a company that is as massive as EA do this, is that they have announced that they are having a nation or a company-wide day of volunteering on Juneteenth. That was mind-blowing, because, again, if you are unfamiliar with the holiday of Juneteenth, Juneteenth is when the Emancipation Proclamation was read in Texas. It was the last slave state for the document to be read in. By the way, it was 2 years after they wrote it, so you had people who were still slaves in Texas and didn't know that the Emancipation Proclamation had happened, that they were technically free. But that is the celebration of when that document was read to slaves in Texas. It is a celebration that you can take part in, and you can see, especially in the American South, but also in big cities across America. Now, I agree with you that, you know, EA, and I say that in jest, but EA did put out that statement that was, again, actionable. They showed actionable steps. It was beyond just giving money, which I thought was really surprising. But also at the same time, for a game company that has made so much money off of Madden and off of FIFA and off of all of these games that heavily feature African-Americans and African-American athletic talent, in a way, it kind of didn't surprise me at the end of the day.
Man, nice things said about EA. That is not something commonly checked off on the Checkpoint AFK bingo card.
No, it's
I'm
not.
I'm going to say that.
But when honestly, you do something like this, it's amazing.
It gives you a different perspective. I will say this, like when I read your article, because Norris, you wrote an article about all these different brands and like donating money. And when I read the EA part, and you know, I knew that they were pretty inclusive, but like I didn't realize to what scope that they would go out and do this. And I was kind of shocked at that level. And it kind of changes my perspective of, you know, okay, fine. They're you know, draining me because of all the microtransactions. Okay, fine. But if they're using their money to do things like this, then fine. Drain me of my with microtransactions, because I will gladly give you my money. Thank you. Thank you, EA.
Conspicuous consumption, Chad.
You know what? I give, it's like I give my money where I think it belongs, and EA's proven that my money belongs there. You know, this will be the one episode where we ever say nice things about EA, but I'll try to remember in the future.
We got Volkai in the chat over at our Twitch channel saying, when Checkpoint is nice to EA, you know they really earned it.
This has got to be like our
Apex.
Yeah, when the Amish and witches are working together, you know you've really screwed up or something like that.
And the Satanists, you got the Satanists out there too.
This is our equivalent to that for sure.
K-pop no, it is.
Yeah, K-pop.
Oh my God, the K-pop stans who have taken over the hashtags. It's amazing. But believe you say, listen, Apex is cool. I like Apex. I think Apex is one of those types of games where I got into it too late. People are too good at it now. And so I can't even begin to really to break the threshold. But another company that responded to this with a donation that really surprised me was a company like Square Enix. Now, the reason why I say Square Enix is because Ubisoft does not surprise me. I personally know many people of color who work for Ubisoft. Diverse. Super diverse. If you play any Assassin's Creed game, they literally start the damn game with, our game is made by a bunch of people of various religious beliefs, creeds, and colors. And like, I think that's dope, but I expect that from Ubisoft because that is, to me, their reputation. But Square Enix, I was like, whoa, hold on. You mean the Final Fantasy folks? And it really took me by surprise because this is a company that is Japanese-based company, known primarily for creating RPGs, which I can't necessarily say is a quote-unquote, you know, a lot of people want to put people into different genres, but yeah. They'll say, oh, you know, that's not a black genre video game, quote-unquote, even though those are games I love. I was surprised by Square Enix in their donation, of which they said they will match any employee contributions made as well. So that was a company I was surprising.
Norris, you can go out and say it too. Like, Square Enix games are not exactly known for being a bastion of diversity.
No, not at all.
There is a look to Square Enix characters typically.
Not in design, but in theme.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to think about, is that when we really think about Square Enix games, Final Fantasy games, Dragon Quest games, a lot of them are about standing up to an evil empire, you know, spitting in the face of, you know, unwanted, unlawful authority, taking down corporate oligarchy, saving the environment. Like, this low-key Square Enix might have been woke before woke. Like, that's the kind of thing where you got to think about it. Yeah, so, man. It's really interesting. Malik, are there any, you know, companies or personalities or game developers that you really, even if they just made a statement, that you were really kind of like, oh, wow, okay, that's cool.
That like shocked me. I mean, because there were companies that, you know, that spoke up or that had a statement that I was just like, I expected that, but I applaud it because it was very well done. Like Astro Gaming, I think they're doing good stuff over there. Logitech, another company. So there's been a lot of that, but there hasn't been anybody that's like actually shocked me. Even the folks who've been kind of on the other side of things, the ones that have been silent and complicit, as per usual, those companies, I'm just like, okay, I already knew you guys were kind of on that side of the fence anyway, and I will continue to not support your games and keep it pushing. So yeah, not many surprises. I think what's been the most shocking to me has more so been like the streamers, the big streamers with the big like brand names who've been like stepping forward and speaking out, and not just like making one statement, but going in, like attacking folks who are being bigoted and just educating everybody, not caring if they lose their followership at all, just really going in and putting it all out in the line. And that's been very shocking to me. Like Ninja, for instance, is a good example of that. Didn't expect Ninja to like go so hard, but Ninja's been going pretty hard over this topic. And I mean, rightfully so. We hear the guy listening to rap music on every stream he's on. Yeah, he does, you know, and rapping word for word. So, I mean, it's good that he's like, you know what? I need to do my part in this. I need to use my platform and speak up. And I think that's been shocking to me because I honestly didn't expect that.
But Ninja's from like the Detroit area, so it's not like he's oblivious to these kind of things. So in that aspect, doesn't shock me. That I mean, I don't know exactly where he's from. I don't think he's from Detroit.
He's from Taylor. He's from Taylor. It's downtown. That's 50 minutes from downtown.
To be fair, I will say this, and no one's gonna know what I'm talking about, but like eye opening to like what happened around me because I live in like an area called Downriver. It's just south of Detroit. And I was shocked at the people that Downriver did a very well done protest. I will say that. I expected like nothing because like in my opinion, well, most people around here are trashy. It's trashy like people. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just garbage people. Usually. I was shocked. It really honestly, it changed my perspective of Downriver a little bit when I saw that. Like I literally saw those protests yesterday on social media and how well it did. And I was like, I gotta give my people like better credit around here because
another streamer that I think really stepped up is somebody like Dr. Lupo, who if you ever met Dr. Lupo in person, it makes perfect sense why he would respond in such a way. But I think for a lot of people who have never had any sort of interpersonal or even just an in-person experience that Dr. Lupo was at, you know, this guy's like stand-up dude, but the statements that he's been making this topic in particular, on point, flat out, because he's just like, yo, if this is what you believe, I don't want you, you're not my fan. I don't want you to be my fan. And, you know, I just want to kind of begin to put a bow on this and to say that is the way and Callie, you brought it up earlier, talking about individual white people or individual people of other groups. What can they do to help?
Yep.
That's the first step.
Norris,
that's part of the first step.
I got to say, so I talked to a lot of people who are thinking about coming out of the closet. It is kind of the role I have assumed now because I'm pretty public about myself at this point. And one thing I always warn people of when you come out of the closet is you're going to learn who your friends are, whether you're happy about that or not. You're going to learn one way or another who your friends are. And I feel like in so many ways, that's what we're seeing right now. We are learning, whether we're happy about it or not, we're learning who our friends are. And the sad truth of it is, if you're not white, cis, het, and male, if you're not all four of those things, at the end of the day, we're all going to sink or swim together. Like, it's not going to be just one of our groups that's going to pay the price at the end of this if it goes bad. So we're all sinking or swimming together, so you might as well get on board if you're an ally to any of those groups.
Flat out. Yeah. And Malik, you know, as our guest host, I want to give you the last word on this. What are some of your words on this topic, and how do you feel?
On this topic overall, like, just what's going on?
Yeah.
Bro, you've heard this probably from everybody, every black person out there. You've probably said it yourself several times, and that is that I am exhausted. This is
flat out. I'm so tired.
I'm tired, bro. Like, this is like, imagine saying something for your entire life, the same thing over and over and over again, and people just like look at you and they nod, but they don't really listen to you. You don't even see anything change, and then all of a sudden it just clicks, you know. I'm happy that it's clicking, but at the same time, it's like, man, I wish I could approach you with the same fire and vigor that I had the first time. But I've said it so many times, it's like I'm exhausted. I almost feel like I can't even process this stuff straight or, you know, properly deliver this message to you with the same amount of passion because I've waited so long for someone to actually listen. But at the same time, I'm very relieved. I feel like Captain America at the end of Endgame when he's looking at Thanos and then the portals start opening up behind him and everybody's coming out.
You know, and so like, it's like we got gay folks, trans folks, Latinos, Asian folks, they all start coming out of the portal.
Someone needs to make that meme. We need that meme right now.
I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure.
We could probably find it.
If we haven't found it, we can make it. But I completely echo that sentiment, Malik, and you know, as someone who has been not only in this gaming community for my entire life, but also somebody who has tried to champion African American causes in whatever field I've been in. I mean, I don't care if I was working at Starbucks at the time. We gonna talk about some racial stuff, but the point of the matter is that there are a lot of African Americans who are feeling exactly as you felt. They're tired. They're exhausted. This is not new. This is not the hotness. This is not a new wave of energy. Nope. This energy has been there since forever.
Yeah. It's a bit bittersweet, to be honest, because like, though it's like, it's cool to see everybody like sharing, like even people are coming to my Twitter and following me. And it's like cool to see people like wanting to know more and wanting to really get behind me and stuff like that. That's awesome. But like under the circumstances, like for me, I just want things to get better for everybody. You know, like I could care less about like any professional gain from this situation. I just want to see some change. I just want it to be to where my kids don't have to go through this and my kids don't have to protest and my kids don't have to worry about a proper etiquette to address the cops with. You know, I want this all to change. So I'm just happy that we're finally starting to band together. We're finally starting to get people to look at actionable items, you know, moving forward. And someone asked me, what keeps you going, Malik? I'm like, living, because I'm black. I have no choice but to keep going. and on top of that, I'm a person who, I have a family member. I lost my cousin three years ago to this very same thing. So this is a very personal matter to me. I don't want anybody else to have to feel that trauma, you know? And I think that with this movement, we're definitely going to see some progress. And I just urge everybody out there, if you're white, if you want to be an ally, take a look at, and you're in the gaming space, take a look at folks like Dr. Lupo and the way that they're approaching it. That's the way you can help right there. That's the way you can be an advocate and an ally. Denounce this stuff. Denounce this behavior. Denounce this ideology and don't be afraid to do it. And don't be afraid who's going to react, you know, poorly to it, because at the end of the day, that's just poor ideology that they have. End of story.
That's right. That's right. And the last thing I want to say on it, guys, is let's keep the energy up. Let's keep this moving. And I'm going to look right at everybody when I say this. Stop letting it have to be that black people die for us to rise up. I'm going to repeat that. Don't have it be where black people have to die for us to pay attention to this, or anybody for that matter. If you believe in this stuff, this got to be how you are the whole year, every year, for the rest of time, okay? To be anti-racist is not a thing you pick up and do. It's not a hippie phase. You have to be this way for the rest of your life. And that's all I'm going to say, flat out.
Toward everybody.
We want to.
Toward blacks. Toward
everybody.
Toward gays. Toward women. Toward everybody. Stop it. Just stop that hatred.
Flat out. We want to thank Malik Forte for joining us as special guest host. Malik, for those who don't know, which I think is absurd that they don't know, but if they don't, where can they find you? Where can they reach out to you and learn more about you?
My Twitter, @Malik4, PLAY. I pretty much do everything from Twitter. I'm phasing out a lot of my social media, especially after what we just went through. There's no Facebook. IG will be gone soon. So Twitter will be pretty much the only place in social media you can find me. And then Twitch. My Twitch is the same as my Twitter account, Malik4, PLAY. And that's pretty much it. Or if you watch the Call of Duty League, I have a show that called Contesting the Point that you can watch. It's on YouTube. And you'll see me floating around in some other stuff that I will announce on my Twitter.
Awesome. Awesome. We thank Malik once more. I am your host, Norris Howard, alongside Callie Sloan and Chad Callahan. We want to thank everybody for joining us for this really awesome conversation. And we hope that everybody can keep the energy up. Be safe. Wash your hands. Keep your masks on when you protest. And most of all, Black Lives Matter. We'll see you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.